That gospel we've just heard, quite a shock for us today, as much of a shock as it was for those first hearers who had gathered to listen to the Messiah whom they had heard would free them from oppression and bring peace to their nation. Such was the expectations of the foretold Messiah. It is equally a shock for Christians today who have grown up with an image of Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, and the Good Shepherd whom we see pictured, cradling cute little lambs and blessing children. If that is the image of Jesus we have grown up to expect, it's quite a shock to hear what comes out of his mouth in today's gospel. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Do you think I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. And in the parallel passage from Matthew, he says, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Fire, sword, division, fighting amongst family members. It does sound little to do with God we believe to be a God of love. It doesn't sound like the sort of life we expect if we follow Jesus. So just what's going on here? What is Jesus saying? The passage then goes on to elaborate upon the cost of discipleship, even to the extent of rejection by family, and ultimately for some, death. The baptism he's to be baptized with, that is his death. The cross which must be taken up and carried by his followers, the ultimate sacrifice that all who followed Jesus must be willing to make. In today's common parlance, we often hear of people speak of the cross that they have to bear. But this usually means minor irritations, annoyances or inconveniences, even long-standing complaints. Jesus, however, refers to carrying the cross, its starkest of meanings, the sacrifice of our very lives. The cross he carried to Golgotha, loyalty to him, even to the point of death, this is the commitment he asks of his followers, of all who take up the cross. Those of which he says are willing to lose their lives for his sake. Complete allegiance and dedication, and nothing else, is what is required of all who call themselves disciples of Christ. A hard message, and not one for the church of the 21st century and a people who live in a society where there are many temptations and a great deal upon which we place value. A culture, in fact, which we have a great deal to forego before we even begin to make the commitment that Jesus asks of us in this passage. It is a hard message, and put across in hard words, which we hear in another part of his teaching, where he says, whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. As if that wasn't enough, he totally overturns our expectations of what rewards for dedicated service in his name might bring. Even if we were selfless enough not to ask anything for ourselves, we would at least expect the ushering in of the kingdom of heaven to bring peace to this earthly kingdom. But no, Jesus says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. This saying questions one of the most basic premises of Christianity, that the coming of Jesus would bring peace on earth. You hear it on the lips of the angels at his birth. Peace to all men, peace on earth. We think of him as the Prince of Peace, and in the Gospel of St. John at the Last Supper, Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." So where do we go from here with this passage? Do we reject this passage as a mistranslation, a mistake by the writer, Luke? Well, if we do, we reject other gospel writers and other parts of the New Testament where we read similar phrases. But if we take out this hard saying, what about all the other difficult sayings, till we end up with a nice, sanitized gospel? A message that is much easier to follow in our comfortable, unchallenged modern lives. Oh no, we can't do this. We've got to grasp the nettle and work through it. We are assured on many occasions that Christ did come to bring peace. That is part of the wholeness. That is God's wish for his people. With the establishment of his kingdom. Peace of mind. Peace in relationships. Peace in the face of an unknown future. So perhaps the seeming conflict is something to do with our understanding of the concept of peace. The first thing we learn from this passage is that peace would not come easily. It would be peace at a cost. Such peace is that which our Lord speaks of, doesn't come without cost, and cost to others, whether that be personal, financial, or in terms of status, must be met with or precipitate opposition. Jesus, throughout his ministry, raises opposition. He was a divisive figure, as we see time and time again. He was deeply committed to his mission and his belief, and he didn't shirk from expressing his belief, as the gospel accounts tell us. He was not a person that people could be indifferent or lukewarm towards. They were either for or against him. And those who are for him, who accept Christ as their personal saviour, are called to repentance, to put aside pride and accept change of life, attitudes, mind and heart. Such total change is hard. But it is such a repentance that is the prelude for peace. And many have experienced the peace that comes after true confession. The reconciliation of guilt, the catharsis of those dark corners of the past which sour people's lives and personalities. Medical science employs similar devices to heal through the many forms of psychotherapy today. But what is the nature of such peace? It is more than just a cessation of hostilities, the laying down of arms. The peace our Lord speaks of is not an end, but a positive start. The start of love for others, even loving our enemies, that deep, all-transcending Christian love, what we call agape. There's a peace that comes about through a definitive decision to follow and live for Jesus. Not an easy decision. If it can't be done half-heartedly, the view that Jesus was a nice man with good ideas is not sufficient. Our Lord himself said, "They who are not for me are against me." Jesus asks for 100% commitment, not a lukewarm acceptance. This all sounds very harsh, but for some who have chosen to commit their lives to Christ, this has been the reality. They have become outcasts in their own families. More than one young man or woman from Muslim families have been disowned and even badly beaten because they have chosen Christianity instead of Islam as their faith. Even in our own culture, I have known new Christians who have been teased and ridiculed, even estranged by their own families for their choice. These examples begin to make some sort of sense of those difficult verses we hear in today's gospel. Do not think I have come to bring peace, but division. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Christ does bring peace, but peace at a cost. It is a peace that can create division, a peace that starts with repentance and issues in resolution to love others, even enemies. But it will be a peace, to use a well-known phrase, that passes all understanding. A peace such as the world cannot give. Peace at a price. What price is peace? Perhaps we should do our own costings. What price is your peace?